Welcome to the Unconventional RD Podcast, where we inspire dietitians to think outside of the traditional employment box and create their own unconventional income streams. We'll talk all things online business to help you start, grow, and scale your own digital empire. Do you feel like you're growing an audience, but that you lack genuine connection with them? In this video, I'm sharing my top 5 strategies for creating true raving fans in your business. This is your playbook for taking your biz from ho-hum average to something that stands out, that magnetically attracts your ideal followers and receives tons of shares, comments, DMs, recommendations, and genuine engagement. And I love this topic because it's something that I have a lot of personal experience in. I've been in the online business slash blogging space since late 2010. That's when I started my very first website, a food blog. I launched it before I went back to grad school to become a dietitian because I genuinely loved food, cooking, and nutrition science, and I used the blog as a creative outlet. But my experience running that food blog and my experience running my current business, the Unconventional RD, were like night and day. So looking back on that, I was able to pull out some lessons and some reasons why I think that the Unconventional RD brand connected with my people so much better and grew exponentially faster than my original food blog. And today, I want to go over those 5 reasons with you. So just to recap, when I ran my food blog, it started out as a hobby, a place where I would develop and photograph recipes and share little nutrition tidbits in the posts. At some point, I started to feel like if I wanted to delve seriously into the world of food and nutrition science, I should probably get a formal degree in the field. So I went back to school to become a registered dietitian. The blog was put on the back burner for a few years while I got through grad school and my internship, but by 2015, I was ready to dive back in and try to grow the food blog into a real income stream. And so I put my head down and I was posting once or twice a week for over 2 years, and I still wasn't really seeing a lot of success. I think my best month with the food blog throughout that whole time period, I got maybe 14,000 visitors to my website in 1 month. And that was like my best month ever. And only about 1,000 of those visitors ever came from Google. And now looking back, I'm like, oh man, that's barely anything. But at the time I was like, okay, it's kinda sorta maybe working, but over 2.5 years, that's not really a great return on my time. And I put a ton of effort into things like learning photography, editing, and all of that. So anyway, I think, of course, part of the problem was that I did not understand SEO, search engine optimization, which I've now mastered and teach to other food and wellness professionals through my SEO Made Simple course. If you want to know more about that, just head to SEOfreebie.com and you can sign up for my free training that explains all the details about my signature 4-step reps framework for SEO for food and wellness professionals. And it also gives more details on my course and how you can sign up. But beyond that, I think another problem that I had with the website is that I didn't have a niche. I didn't know who the heck I was speaking to, and I wasn't really solving anyone's problems. So all I was doing was using the food blog as like a personal recipe journal of sorts. So whatever I was making for myself, I would just throw it up on the blog and call it a day. And that is a backwards way of thinking about your business. Ideally, you want to have an ideal person or a customer or client avatar, a reader avatar, who you're speaking to. Someone who you know what they're struggling with and your content is there to solve their problems. You want your content to call to them and have them feel like, wow, I need this. This is my all-time favorite website. They get me. Everything they publish, I'm into and I want to make or I want to read or whatever. So I was totally lacking in that department because I didn't have a niche with my food blog. Like I would post vegetarian stuff, vegan stuff, meat-heavy rich things, long meals that would take hours to braise, and then like 5-minute side dishes. I was all over the place. And I bet a lot of you watching right now, I bet you resonate with that. So if that's you, don't worry, you can still figure it out. But the first step is just being aware that maybe you're making that mistake in the first place. But anyway, with that blog, I want to give you an example of some of the messages that I used to receive via my Facebook page. I would get people messaging me saying things like, Hey, Erica, I see you use Barley. Can I send you some free Barley to try and maybe you could give me your feedback? So like people trying to send me products for free in exchange for work that's not actually being compensated. Another example, hey, Erica, super random, but I saw that you liked my Facebook page and I wanted to thank you for your support. And then here comes the ask. Since you're a registered dietitian, I wanted to get your take on the supplement, which I'm sure you've heard of, Shakeology. What do you think of the ingredients? Any thoughts in general? I'd love to hear your input. Again, someone asking for my mental labor without compensation. Another really vague message. Hi, I'd like to speak to you about a possible project, aka probably a scam. And some very demanding comments like, when are you going to do a duck recipe? I want duck. So clearly, I'm not connecting on an emotional level with my audience here. I'm not getting any messages from people being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love your stuff. You help me so much, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of people asking things of me. So that should be a sign that maybe you need to rethink your content strategy here. Now I want to compare that to the messages that I would receive when I launched the Unconventional RD Facebook community and was posting stuff about blogging and getting online business conversations started and sharing my income reports on my website. I would get messages like, hi, Erica, just wanted to thank you for all you do. You're truly inspiring. Like, what? I never got a message like that before. Another one, hi, I officially have a full-blown professional crush on you, not in a weird way, I promise. Or, hi, Erica, I wanted to let you know I mentioned a ton of your stuff this week in a video on my blog. Please let me know if there's anything I can better share about what you're doing with this group. So again, another huge indication. If people are sharing your stuff for you, then that's like, whoa, a huge sign that you're doing something right and that you're really helping people because they can't help but share it because it's so awesome. And then people actually started reaching out with real collaboration opportunities. So it's just crazy, like night and day difference. And honestly, comments like this would make me cry because they were like, wow, is this really happening right now? Like, I guess this is really what I meant to be doing because I've never gotten impactful messages like this before. So clearly I'm hitting on something where I'm enjoying my work and I'm making a difference and people are enjoying it. So my point here is that I want you to pay attention to the types of messages you're getting or not getting from people in your audience because that can be a really good guiding force on where to lean in and maybe where to pull back. It's a mirror shining back at you to help you notice if it's time to pivot or hone your content to better serve a certain person. Because I think one of the bigger shifts you need to make if you're interested in online business or blogging is that your content and your blog is not there for you. Your content really exists to serve your ideal customer or reader or client. Your goal is to figure out what they're struggling with right now and to help them. And I think the reason why it really worked for the Unconventional RD community and why it connected with people so well is because I was speaking to my earlier self. As I got better at blogging and I created a membership site and an accompanying blog to market it and understood how to grow the traffic on that blog, I was able to pass on the lessons that I learned firsthand. But I was intimately familiar with what it felt like to be at square one and feel frustrated and stuck. Because I spent years in that position myself. So what do you have that's similar? Like, is there some skill that you've developed or expertise that you developed? Do you have any sort of personal experience that you can draw on and really connect on a deeper emotional level with your potential clients? And even if you haven't been in the exact shoes of the person you're trying to help, that's okay too. You just need to push yourself to really try to understand what are you really helping people with? And make sure that your content is addressing those pain points. That's how you're going to stand out. And that's how you're going to start getting these messages of people saying, wow, your content is so helpful. How do you understand every little thing that I'm going through? I'm so glad I found you. So if you're watching this right now and you're like, yes, that's the type of person I want to attract with my brand, I've sort of distilled my experiences down into 5 things that you can focus on to help engage your audience much better. Basically, my top 5 strategies for attracting raving fans. So I'm going to review these 5 strategies and flesh them out with some real personal experiences and examples from my own business journey. The first strategy is authenticity. And what is authenticity? If you look it up in the dictionary, the definition of authentic, it means not false or imitation, real or actual, true to one's own personality, spirit, or character, is sincere and authentic with no pretensions, is an example. So what does this mean for you as a business owner? Perhaps it means finally admitting to yourself that you don't love working with clients one-on-one. That was a huge one for me. Earlier in my career, I felt a little pressured that the only way to run a successful business as a dietitian was to trade my time for money and work with clients one-on-one in a private practice setting. At the time, it felt almost like the only way to be a dietitian entrepreneur when I was first starting out. Now, I realize that's not accurate at all, but at the time, that is what it felt like, based on the communities I was in and the conversations I was listening to. So I did start working with clients one-on-one. I tried to start a private practice for many years, and I saw some success, but it was hard for me to actually admit to myself that I didn't love it. I felt like it kind of made me a failure or something, like I'm not a true dietitian if I don't like working with people one-on-one or helping people with a one-on-one transformation. I loved the educating part, the writing, the content creation. I just didn't love one-on-one counseling. But part of that, admitting things like that, that is being authentic. Maybe it means embracing your non-nutrition related skills and passions. How can you bring that stuff into your current business in a way that makes you really unique? That is what people are going to connect with. Those little side tidbits and things that they know about you outside of just your niche or your job or whatever. That's going to help people feel an authentic, genuine connection to you. It also means embracing the nutrition philosophy that speaks to you. So if there's a little feeling in your gut and whatever niche you're in right now isn't the right fit, listen to that. Because that's right. Your gut is not going to steer you wrong. So please pay attention when you're doing different things, trying different niches, different types of jobs. Listen to how it feels on the inside and lean into the stuff that feels really good to you, that feels easy, that feels effortless, like you were meant to do this stuff, you know? And if you're doing something just because an opportunity came your way, but it ends up not really sitting right with you, you don't need to stay in that position forever. Being authentic might also mean using slang words or swear words in your content, or not using those things. It's just about whatever your true, authentic personality is. And again, this just comes back to the point of not trying to put on a front to be something that you're not, not trying to fit into the expected mold that you think you need to conform to succeed. Really lean into that authentic you. I mean, maybe you have purple hair and tattoos everywhere. If that's you, lean into that because I guarantee there's tons of people out there looking for you with that type of personality and that way of connecting with people. And maybe that's missing in your space. That can be your unique differentiator that sets you apart and gets you new customers. You don't want to put on an act to attract a certain type of person. You know, you just need to be authentic and let your true, natural personality shine through when you're creating content online. And then the last way to really boost your authenticity is to not always have that front up. Like give people a glimpse behind the scenes of what you do in your life and your business. This is where things like Instagram stories or private Facebook communities can be really powerful for connecting. You can share little glimpses of like what you're doing on a Friday or, you know, something really great or really bad that happened in your business. You can share it in real time and people feel like they know you, they like you, they trust you, and like they're your friend. In my opinion and in my personal experience, I do think that if you can connect on a more interpersonal level, it will only help you. So my second tip for attracting a group of raving fans is to be vulnerable. And vulnerable, if you look up the definition, means capable of being physically or emotionally wounded, open to attack or damage. And the example that they give in the dictionary for using this word in a sentence was vulnerable to criticism. So this means you need to put it all out there, good and bad. Being vulnerable means not just sharing your shiny highlight reel, but you know, if something doesn't go the way you were hoping, then share that as well. It could also mean talking about things that aren't always discussed publicly. So for example, back in 2017, when I was first starting out with the Unconventional RD community and my website, I was sharing my income reports. And that was my attempt at logging what was working or not working in my online business and just sharing very objectively what things I tried that month, what worked, what didn't work, with the goal of not only holding myself accountable because I'm putting it out there in the world, so it's like, whoa, better make sure I'm putting in consistent effort because people are reading this, but also so that other people could learn from what I'm trying and doing and what's working or not working. And part of that was discussing money and how much money I earned every single month and how much money I spent every single month. And, you know, it's rare for people to talk about that online, especially in the dietetics realm at the time. So I think that helped me stand out a little bit in the beginning. Being vulnerable also means not being afraid of being wrong or learning from others. And this is a huge one in the online world. There are a lot of people out there who have trouble receiving feedback from others without getting into defense mode. And I think it's important to be open and take a little step back, separate your ego here from whatever's happening, and be able to hear someone's criticism or questioning of something you said without taking it personally. No one knows everything. Probably need to say that 10 billion more times. No one knows everything. You don't know everything. The other person doesn't know everything. No one should know everything. The whole point of life is to just continually grow and learn and get better, right? As you take in more information and you learn something new, you can change your frameworks, you can change your opinion, you can change your mind, you can change your niche, you can do anything with that new information that comes your way. So, you know, it's really important if you want to grow and you want to be a good example and a good leader, it's okay if you're wrong. You can admit that. You can learn from other people and you can move forward. And part of being vulnerable is being okay with receiving criticism, whether it's warranted or not. And I know this is easier said than done. I know even myself, if you catch me on a bad day, like it might not go over as well as I'd like it to, but you know, with practice and honestly more exposure to criticism, which naturally will come as your audience and your visibility grows, it does get a little easier. You might also start to notice other prominent people in the online space that you admire being criticized. And then you start to have this realization of like, oh, you can't escape it. You can't escape criticism. So as long as you know on the inside that you feel good about what you're doing and the help you're providing for your people, it's going to bother you less. So criticism is going to come your way as you grow a business online, but don't let that be a reason to not be vulnerable. The more open and vulnerable you are, to be honest, the less people have to come after you for because they're like, well, you know, this is me. This is everything I'm doing. I'm not hiding anything. If you vibe with it, cool. If you don't, that's fine too. Move along and take the lessons that you can out of the criticism, especially if you see a recurring theme coming up about comments people are leaving you. But don't let that derail you from putting yourself out there. And then the last piece about being vulnerable, I also like to encourage other people to be vulnerable in the spaces that I create. Because if you're vulnerable, it helps other people become more vulnerable. And people need to feel safe and welcomed to open up and ask deeper questions so that you can really help them. And this leads me perfectly into the third point or the third strategy for attracting raving fans. Be helpful. And this means to give assistance or support, to make something more pleasant or bearable, to be of use to further the advancement of something, and to change for the better. Basically, help solve people's problems. This is the number one thing you can do, in my opinion, to attract raving fans. And in my experience, there's three types of content that you need to create to be valuable online for your people. You need trust content, belief content, and proof content. Now, let me explain what each of those are for a second. Trust content is content that provides value to your audience, answers their questions, solves a specific problem for them, etc. This is often the type of content you see published on websites or in YouTube videos. Essentially, long-form, helpful content that meets a need your ideal audience is searching for. Because one of the best ways to simultaneously be helpful and get discovered at the same time is to create content around the questions that you know your people are searching for on the internet. And I share a lot of ways to find out what your people are searching for inside my SEO Made Simple course. So again, you can go to theunconventionalrt.com, just click on the courses tab and you can learn more about that. But there are ways and tools that you can use to actually kind of like spy on what people are typing into the Google search bar. So essentially you can figure out what people are Googling over and over again every single month. And then you can say, okay, out of all these different topics that people are Googling within my niche, which ones are ones that are not extremely competitive that I can write about? And then you simply create content about that. Now, in today's day and age, I recommend diversifying your content strategy so it's not exclusively focused on these long tail, super niche keywords. Make sure you're bringing it back to the core of why your website exists and still create a broader focused pillar content that you think your audience would need to find from you on your website in order to feel like you have a go-to complete comprehensive resource on your site for your people. But if you do this right and you do it enough, when your ideal client is searching for something on the internet, your piece of content, your blog post, is more likely to show up on the first page of the search results and get clicked on. And then that's how someone's going to discover you and your website. Maybe join your email list, sign up for a freebie that you're offering, maybe send you an email, book an appointment, whatever it is. They can very well find you through your educational posts. And those educational posts help establish trust that you know what you're talking about. It helps establish connection because they can read your voice and understand whether your personalities might be a good fit and all of that. But it's also important to understand that you can be helpful not just with educational posts. Those are great, obviously, but there's still those other two types of content that you need, the belief content and the proof content. So proof content is meant to be inspirational. Share the wins of the people that you're helping, or your own personal wins, or things that you've learned, or something you've been working on. Essentially, pull back the curtain, demystify what you do, show that you're able to help actual real-life people achieve wins, and show that you yourself have firsthand experience on the topic that you are teaching on. A lot of proof-style content also lends itself well to storytelling, so lean on that. Stories are absolutely amazing for building connection, giving your audience light bulb moments, and helping them see themselves in you and your content. It helps them connect the dots on concepts that might initially be a little foreign to them. And then the third type of helpful content would be belief-focused posts. Content that identifies common objections, fears, mindset struggles, or other roadblocks that are stopping your ideal person from taking action toward the goal or transformation that they desire. These types of posts are typically not designed to help your ideal customer find you. That's what the SEO optimized content is for, typically educational in format, but rather to help deepen your connection with your people, help them feel seen, heard, and understood by you. This type of content is perfect for reflecting your ideal audience's own words and language back at them, which makes them feel like, oh my gosh, are you reading my mind? So pay attention to the things that people are saying in your comments, in your DMs, or your community that you run, the way that they respond to feedback surveys, the words they're using to describe their fears, pain points, and struggles, and then create content that addresses those deeper topics. This is one of the biggest differentiators between growing passive followers and growing a community of true fans. The more you are able to create content that connects with and empathizes with your audience, the stronger your bond will grow. You'll receive more heartfelt messages than ever before. Have people excited to want to work with you or buy with you when you give them the opportunity. And you'll start to receive genuine, trusted referrals from the people in your network. And if you want to learn more about creating these three pillars of content to serve your audience, I'm talking about that inside my new membership, the Expand membership. It's a low-cost monthly membership where I'm teaching more about creating other types of content outside of just SEO optimized content that you can use to send to your email list to deepen that connection. And you can find more info about that at expandmembership.com. And if you are watching this and you're like, man, I'm still in the beginning stages of my business. I don't have anything to sell yet. I'm still kind of learning my audience and honing my niche and area of expertise, but I still want to genuinely help people. Don't worry, you can. Remember that being a helpful resource for someone doesn't mean that you personally have to have all the answers. But if you're well connected in your niche, and perhaps you have people that you look up to or are learning from, you can always point your people to other resources that can help them. And that can be a way to establish trust as well. And if you happen to also be an affiliate for any of those things, you could make recommendations using your affiliate links and potentially earn a commission on any sales that your audience goes on to make. So yay, that's a win-win, right? And I do think that in your long-term online business plans, in order to be helpful to the most people possible online, it does help to eventually be on as many platforms as possible. Please listen carefully, because I'm not saying to start by publishing on every single platform. In fact, please don't do that. That is a recipe for subpar performance everywhere, which will probably lead to burnout and disappointment and throwing up your hands and saying, "Ugh, this online business stuff doesn't work." Instead, pick one platform to master first. I strongly recommend mastering an evergreen long-form style of content first, preferably blogging or YouTube, which can then help you get found via search engines for years after you publish it. Then, once you have seen some success and feel confident about your content creation systems, then you can start strategically expanding onto the next platform. So let's say you're learning how to blog. You took my SEO course and you're like, okay, got it. I understand how to blog. Check the box. I have all my systems down. Now I feel like I can outsource whatever I want to outsource, take on whatever I feel comfortable with, and have maybe enough space here to tackle the next thing. Maybe that's Pinterest. Maybe that's Facebook. Maybe that's TikTok. Maybe it's email marketing, but kind of take it in a stepwise fashion. And then as the months and years go on, eventually you will have all these really awesome pieces of your business machine kind of just humming along. And you'll know that you can use your content and all these free platforms like your blog or your social media or whatever to attract people to you. And you have all these systems in place. So let's say once they join your email list, you have a system of emails already set up to go out to new subscribers and then pitch them on something that you're offering for sale or an affiliate product or to book an appointment with you one-on-one or whatever you think is the best offer for that specific person when they get on your list. And then once you have all those systems in place, a way to create content that will get you found and connect with your audience, systems for repurposing onto multiple platforms, and automations on the back end on your email list that will serve and sell to your audience on autopilot, then all you need to do is continue focusing on growing your audience. Because you know you have a machine running in the background where if you find more people to know about you and they get into your ecosystem, you know that a certain percentage of them will then go on to become part of your email list and will then go on to be one of your customers. But it all starts with being helpful and creating that helpful content on whatever platform that you enjoy to attract them to you in the first place. Tip number 4 is to be present. And that means constituting the one actually involved at hand or being considered. So this basically means don't outsource your personal connection. You can't outsource your personal connection. And when you're just starting out and you're trying to attract your people and build your community and your group of raving fans, your biggest asset is you. So some of the bigger name people that you might see out there in your niche are like, oh, how could I ever compete with that? This person's been doing this for like 5 or 10 years. I'll never catch up. They're just going to get all the business. There's no point in even trying to get into this niche right now. Some people feel like that. But guess what? You, as the newbie on the scene, your secret advantage is all the time that you have available to spend personally connecting with people one-on-one. Because it's true, as your business and your brand grows, it gets harder to maintain that level of connection and personalization to every single person in your audience, because that aspect of online business is only scalable up to a certain point. But when you're just starting out, if someone sends you a DM or an email, or they're asking a question in your Facebook group, you could potentially respond to every single one. And then people feel like, wow, this person's really hearing me. They understand me. I can't believe they're taking the time to answer my question. And it's so effective in building relationships with people. So you want to try to foster a community like that with your fans, your readers, or your customers. Do your best for as long as you can to respond to comments on social media and your blog and respond to those emails and the messages you get. If you run a community, start conversations that are engaging. So where you're kind of asking people questions or to share something specific to boost that engagement and to get people talking. And then just basically be a good human and care about the people who follow you. That's my best advice. And then my last tip, tip number 5 for creating raving fans is to give back. Show your fans how much you value them. Say thank you often in your emails, on your social media platforms. Thank the people who follow you, who have joined your program. You know, it's not like they're just a number. They're a person. And you're so grateful that they decided to sign up to work with you. You can send special thank you offers only for the people who are subscribed to your email list to make them feel special. Maybe you can do a little special sale that's only for your email list, or a special upgrade or PDF or something that you put together that's only for them. You could also reward your most loyal and engaged fans. I know one time, I think maybe it was the first year that I started my Facebook group, I think I had maybe a couple thousand people in the group at the time, and it was around the holidays, and I wanted to do something nice for the people in my group who were the most engaged and active and having conversations in there, because I just appreciated it so much. And I didn't have a ton of money at the time, so this was a small gesture. But what I did was in Facebook, It can give you the analytics of who is the most actively engaged in your group for any given month. So I just went into the top 10 people who were there and I sent them all a $5 Starbucks gift card and was like, hey, happy holidays. Thanks for being such an active member of my group. I really appreciate it. Here's coffee on me type of thing. And I didn't talk about that anywhere. I think I've only told that story one other time years ago on my podcast, but I just did that for the people who I felt really grateful for at that time. And another thing that I do, not everyone agrees with this, and it's up to you how you want to run your business, but personally, I choose to honor my earliest customers. So for example, for all of the membership sites that I've ever created, I offered an initial lower rate for my very first customers. Because I was trying to validate my ideas, I pre-sold the spots before I had ever created the products. I was just trying to make sure that there were real people who were really willing to spend actual money to purchase this idea that I had before it existed. And those people who signed up in the pre-sale period, they got a great rate that is significantly lower than what I'm selling the same products for now. But I don't ever increase the cost for them. They're always going to have that rate forever for as long as they remain a member. Because personally, I just believe in that philosophy. Not everyone agrees with me on this one, but that's just how I choose to run my business. It feels good to me to continue to say thank you by keeping that lower rate for them for as long as they want to remain around. So that's another thing to consider as well. So, action steps today, things that I think you can do to create raving fans. I'm just going to recap the key points that I made in this video. Number one, be authentic. Show up as your true self. Take a moment to get really clear on who you are, what your values are, what feels good to you, and how do you want to show up in the world. Then show up in that true, authentic way. And anytime that something doesn't feel right to you on the inside, that's okay. You can pivot and work on continuing to be in alignment with what feels good and authentic to you. Number two, be vulnerable. So do your best. For some people, this comes naturally. For other people, they really have to work at it. But be as open as you can and as vulnerable as you can to share what's truly happening in your life, in your business, with your clients, whatever. I mean, obviously, if you're doing M&T, you can't share personal information from other people, but just in general, be open, be vulnerable. If you don't know the answer to something, just say that. Say, hey, I'm not sure, but I can go and find out for you. That's an example of being vulnerable and honest and open and authentic and not pretending like you know the answers to everything. Number three, be helpful. Genuinely try your best. Create free content on your blog, your social media, whatever, to attract your ideal client right to you. You want to create content that answers their questions, helps them overcome their objections and perceived hurdles, and helps them believe that their dreams and goals are truly possible. Create paid products or services that help them achieve those goals. Being truly helpful and caring about your people, in my opinion, I can't say this enough, is the most effective way to create a group of true fans who will spread the word about you organically. If you genuinely help others, that goodwill will come back to you tenfold. Number four, be present. So as much as you can, depending on where you are in your business and your life right now, show up for your people. Engage in your Facebook group. Send them emails. Respond to comments. Comment on other people's social media, etc. This is a huge piece for building and growing your community. And then last, always give back. So once you are in a space where you can give back, you know, as I said, when I was doing my little gift cards for people, I could barely afford just a $50 total thank you gesture for 10 people. It was $5 each. And I knew that wasn't a lot, but it just felt nice to be able to say thank you in some sort of way for people, you know? It doesn't even have to be monetary. It could be some other sort of thank you, even just a heartfelt message. But just the gesture and the thought and showing that you're thinking about people and that you're thankful and grateful that they're showing up and hanging out in your crew. So those are my top five strategies for attracting raving fans right to you. And you know, as soon as you start to see some success with these methods, bask in it for like 0.2 seconds and then keep on going because it's only going to keep growing from there. And I hope these strategies were helpful for you today. If you're not already in the Unconventional RD community on Facebook, head there and hang out with me there. Enter your email if you want to join my newsletter, and you'll get even more exclusive tips and actionable advice that I only send out to people on my email list. And remember, helping others to get what they want is ultimately the best way to get what you want as well. Catch you next time with another helpful video.